At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com.
Hello, everyone. Hi, friends. Welcome back to Barb Knows Best, the podcast. I am Michelle Maros, your co-host, and I am thrilled to be sitting in our kitchen table across from my mom, Barbara. Hello, Mom.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi. Happy Mother's Day.
You
look like a kid on Christmas.
I feel like a kid on Christmas. I love Mother's Day because you always make it very special. And I know it's the one day that pretty much I can do anything I want. You're very generous in your heart. Your heart is so generous anyway, but on Mother's Day in particular, you have always, even as a little girl, you have always been so loving and kind in a very extraordinary way.
Wow.
Like you really say it's all about me?
I didn't even ask her to say this.
No, because this is who you are. You always say it's all about me and what do you want, Mom? And what can I do for you? And how can I make your day happier? And so I love this day.
Well, I guess, as you all, I guess, can probably guess, we're recording this episode on Mother's Day. What better way to celebrate a day for you, Mom, than recording Barb Knows Best?
That's true.
When I asked you what you wanted to do today and you said, well, I don't know, just spend time with you. Did you imagine that I'd say, okay, get the headphones on. We're going to work.
I actually didn't, but I also know how much you know that I love this. I love doing this. I love doing the podcast. I love doing these recordings. We're talking all the time anyway. So I just absolutely love it. So when you said, hey, Mom, do you want to record an episode on Mother's Day? I thought that would be really cool.
Well, and also you and I were having lots of chats anyways. And I'm like, can we just hit the record button and put it in an episode?
That's true.
But going back to Mother's Day in general and how much you said that you loved this holiday, I wanted to add that I feel like this holiday wasn't always good for us. I mean, how do I want to say this? I think in the more recent years of life, as you've been now a divorced woman, Mother's Day is a lot more enjoyable because I know in the past, I feel like these kinds of holidays always were very tense and oftentimes filled with arguments. And it's so nice now to be able to have a holiday like this on the horizon or have it be present like it is today and not feel some sort of anxiety about what's going to happen or is there going to be drama or like any of that stuff. So it's so cool that you're so happy now in the Mother's Day spirit.
You are right.
Because I remember like we would get in fights back in the day and you'd be like, it's Mother's Day. Can't just for one day you all like be nice to me. And that's so sad because in that era, like, I guess, no, for one day, we couldn't all have it together.
Yeah. You know, relationships are complicated. And for sure, I truly have been a person, I think you will attest to this, but I truly have been a person where when these holidays come up, all I really want is to enjoy being with you. you know, and back in the day, enjoy
family,
you know, family and all of that stuff. So really, I'm not looking for anything
like big grand gesture.
Yeah. Just, let's just enjoy each other. Let's just truly spend the time today or any holiday, just enjoying each other and have no expectations of any. Yes. I love what you just said, Michelle, any grand gestures. Let's just enjoy each other and whatever, however that looks like in your family. And in my mind, it just looks like, you know, having fun and just being with each other without any expectation or anxiety or...
Yeah. Well, in credit to you, you are very simple in your desires and requests for holidays like birthday, Mother's Day, even, you know, Christmas, whatever holiday. You are very chill where you're just like, I'm just happy to... be with each other. And I'm just happy to spend time with you. And we don't have to do anything special because being together is enough. And she doesn't mean that. I know some people sometimes, you know, people can say it, but it's like, oh, I'm saying that, but I really want you to like rack your brain for a cool gift or something like that. But you really do mean it. So it always takes the pressure off of me.
Well, I think,
and it's nice because then we do just do whatever we want and spend time together. And it's fine. You're not like, oh, you didn't do this or whatever.
Yeah.
But that's really not a lot of expectations in that regard. And it's nice.
Well, cause I think life is so anxiety and pressure filled anyway.
Yeah. Of course.
Life is just really hard. We all know that. We talk about it a lot on this podcast. And when we come around to a holiday where you can kind of breathe or maybe just relax into the day, I don't see any need to add any more pressure, any more expectations or any more anxiety than just to actually just be able to breathe and be with each other. And it's as simple as what you're saying, Michelle. Earlier today, I wanted to deliver a Mother's Day card to my favorite human being on the planet. She is one of my dearest, dearest, dearest friends. And I just wanted to deliver a card to her house, which is very close here. It's only a few miles away. And I said, so I'll be back just in a few minutes. And you said, do you want me to drive you? And I said, I would love it. It's just things like that. I mean, I actually have tears in my eyes right now, just even thinking about that, because those are the things that I think in our relationship, as we have grown over the years, and you think about life being so much externally driven, that really what makes me so happy is just being with each other. And do you want me to drive you? Is the greatest gift today.
I know it seems, I can do that anytime.
I know it seems so simple, but it's truly, I believe it's truly what relationships are all about.
Well, I think we're very thoughtful with each other. And I think I know what means a lot to you, and you know what means a lot to me in these instances. And I just knew that you would appreciate that. And then we went to get a coffee, which I always appreciate. So it wins. Everyone wins in that situation.
Yeah. So good.
So since today is Mother's Day and we've had a lot of time together reflecting and chatting, we thought that we would share, and this actually also is one of our most commonly asked questions, even though we've talked a lot about it in other episodes, but just kind of the ins and outs of our relationship. How are we so close? How do we work together? How do we get to this space of having such a great relationship? All of those things. And so I thought today we could just share some lessons that we've learned from each other. And I guess more or less what we've learned like from our relationship.
I love it.
Right?
I love it. No, I was just so mesmerized by what you were saying because it's true. And I think I would start off by saying it's not perfect.
No.
Our relationship is not perfect. Life is not perfect. No relationship is. And I think that's the beauty of it. And that's why I love this. That's why I love this podcast so much. But it's actually one of the reasons I love you so much.
Aww.
Like, we can be our vulnerable selves and we can get angry and we can get irritated, or we can get frustrated, or we can get stubborn.
Yep.
We're both Scorpios.
Yep. Stubborn is a big one.
Yeah. And I think that what's so wonderful is none of that defines who we are or our relationship. We just always seem to grow more. We learn more. And I think that's the beauty of life. And it's really, we're here to learn and grow. And you've taught me so much. And I believe that I've taught you so much. And I think as long as we, in any relationship, but I think especially in a mother, daughter, mother, son, in a family, it's so critically important for each person in the family and each mother, daughter, let's say, since you and I are mother, daughter, to never forget that you're always learning too. Mm-hmm. Both sides, you know, I remember when you were a teenager and we were talking once and you said, Mom, I don't need to hear that anymore. I already know it. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking, yeah, maybe you know it now, but maybe it's a different version of it that you're going to know later. Just things like that. And the same with us mm-hmm. parents. Sometimes we feel like, oh, I've learned it all. Now just listen to me. And I think that cuts off communication. And I think it cuts off the growth that the relationships can have. And I think that's where you're talking about the most, Michelle, in our conversation today, is that our relationship has really grown over the years and it continues to grow and it always will. And I'm always learning from you.
Likewise.
And I believe, yeah, you're always learning from me. So it's a beautiful thing. And just don't ever forget that's the point.
Right. I 100% agree with starting off with that and reiterating that we are not perfect. And I know we've said that on quite a few other episodes, but I know sometimes maybe people might get the illusion that we are perfect. We don't fight. We have it all figured out. We've reached some sort of level of enlightenment in the mother-daughter space. And
I know it's,
we've certainly grown and learned a lot and we've been through a lot of stuff, but also we've been through a lot of therapy and personal growth and development and all of those things, but we are not perfect and we miscommunicate, misunderstand, we get into fights, we get into conflicts, we get our feelings hurt, all of the same things. But I think what I like about our relationship, especially in the sense of, you know, where we started and where we are now, is I think we do a good job of coming back on track and how we deal or handle disappointment or miscommunication or challenges. And I think that's the whole point, is like, no matter where you are in your journey, how do you learn something new and maybe do a little bit better each time it's presented to you. So that, coupled with reiterating to what you said about learning being such a huge piece on both sides, I think having that open mind and being open to learning or relearning or being open to new perspectives, being open to new information at all stages of life, you know, because now, you know, obviously we had lots of lessons learned when I was a kid and high school and college, but now we're both adults. So it's, you know, a completely different dynamic of, I can present you with information, you can present me with information, and it's like almost coming to a level, even playing field in life, basically. And so it's interesting to always be open to dynamic shifting and to learning new things.
I agree. And it's definitely an even playing field. I mean,
you're always going to be, mom. You're always going to be elevated, yeah. Ooh, I think.
Love it. Love it. Love it.
Yeah.
It's so important. I think everything you just said is so true. And it's very, I can't stress this enough. I think what has helped me the most in my life is having some self-awareness. And yes, I have a meditation practice. We've talked about that a lot, both of our meditation practices on the show. And we've gone into some detail about it, and we'll continue to go into a lot of our experiences because this is what we love the most on this show. And so my practice for the past 40 years really has centered a lot around, of course, meditation and mindfulness. But I would say the big component of those two things for me has been reflection, mm-hmm. has been the ability to take a pause. And you and I've done this often. We'll just say, let's just stop talking right now. Even if I'm still angry or you're still angry or we're just not, let's just stop and we'll come back to it. And usually when I say that, let's just stop and we'll come back to it. I'll start reflecting and trying to develop some insight as to actually what's happening. So I'll ask myself in that moment, Barb, what's happening for you right now? Are your feelings getting hurt? Are you feeling, angry that she's not agreeing with you or whatever the situation is? So really becoming reflective of what you are feeling in the moment, especially if it's a difficult situation, you know, or an argument or a space where, or a time when you need the space from each other. And then once that starts to happen, when I actually sit there and ask myself those questions and I try to sort out what's going on in this moment, the biggest insight that usually, almost I would say close to 99% of the time, it is really that drastic or that vast, is that I realize that I'm trying to get my way. I want her to understand what I'm trying to say. I'm actually right in the situation. And, you know, she's not being very respectful. You know, all those kind of things start, you have to really be honest with yourself. So what are you actually feeling?
Yeah.
And I think almost all the time it's, I want my way. I want her to act in a certain way. I want her to be a certain way. And I have the expectation that she's not doing or acting or feeling the way that I want her to. And generally it's the feeling. She's mm-hmm. not being compassionate enough. She's not being open enough.
Well, it's your
enough.
Attachment to my feelings. You don't know that I'm actually feeling or not feeling that.
Beautifully said. So I think what I'm trying to start off with by saying is develop or create or cultivate some reflection moment in your life. Especially when you're having a difficult time with a child, with your mother, or with your daughter or your son or family member or coworker, whoever it is. But
parent.
Especially today we're talking about mother-daughter relationships. Just find the ability when you're really at your wit's end in a moment where you can just stop and then go sit with yourself for a few minutes. Or just go about your day if you can't sit with yourself, if you're at work or if something is pressing and you can't take the time to sit with yourself, but make it a point to just take a few deep breaths and say, okay, I'll come back to this. I'll come back to this and I'll ask myself what's happening
right
for me in the moment.
Right.
Crucial.
Yeah. And I think too, outside of personal reflection and self-awareness, I think we also have a baseline level of respect for each other and compassion for each other to where at this point in our relationship, and I don't know that this was necessarily true earlier, but at this point, if we're caught in a miscommunication or have our feelings hurt about something, underneath it all, I think we both know that we're not intentionally trying to hurt the other one, or we don't have bad intentions or bad wishes. And so coming to the table with that as a baseline has made things a lot better. And I will say that, of course, therapy and reflection, like having reflection, the self-awareness, unpacking trauma and getting feelings out, like all of that, because I used to, and maybe this is what we talk about so often with like the power of the pause of like taking a space before saying the thing. Like I used to be quick to say the dig or the biting comment that I knew that was going to sting or be painful, you know, kind of those satisfying in the moment, but then like 1 second later you have regret because it was mean. Like I used to be that way. I would say it and, you know, I didn't want to hurt you, but I wanted to have that sting. And these days I don't, because I don't want to hurt you. I just want to say what's true for me in the moment. And I think because we've had the ability and time and resources to work out our stuff, like I don't have, I mean, I had a long, long time of being really angry at you. And, you know, we had to work that out. But now we're at this space where there's the pause. There's the knowing that I don't need to say the thing that's going to be kind of nice in the moment, but really mean 2 seconds later to get my point, my feelings across. And so I think that's also made a huge difference, at least from my end.
Michelle, that's really huge. And I so appreciate that you're sharing that because it's very huge. And I think you might be wondering as you're listening to this, we haven't really mentioned the love word. And I think that's, I don't want to say it's on purpose, but it's a given that we love each other.
I didn't even think about that, so.
Well, because I think it's a given that we love each other. And I think that's, love is, you know, I truly believe that just loving someone is not enough. We have to also have respect. We also have to have all the things that go along with.
Patience.
Patience. All of the things. We have to be able to say, I'm sorry. We have to be able to have grace, you know, for the other person and for ourselves. So love to me is a given. And I think that that's a huge thing. It's a huge place to start, but I agree with you, Michelle. The baseline has to be all of the things that you just said, trust, respect. Mm-hmm. And I think when you start to realize, or not even realize, but when you start to really engage in this idea that, wow, respect, all of the things that patience, all of the things that we're talking about, is so necessary in a relationship. It's really the glue, I think, that holds it all together, that helps us be able to grow, that helps us be able to become who we are. And why is that? Because I think we're able to be vulnerable then. I know, I feel like in the earlier days of our relationship, you were angry, and we'll get into all that in some episode. We'll get into little pieces of it as we go along, but you were really angry with me, and I knew that. And so I think you would close down. Yes, because of the anger, but also because I don't think you wanted to be vulnerable. I'm not sure that sometimes we feel very safe, even if it is our mother.
Right.
Even if it is a family. Sometimes we just don't feel safe. Whatever it is that's going on inside of ourselves, we just don't feel safe. So I think it's so important to have the baseline that you were talking about, Michelle, which is, I believe, what has been the road that we've been on in doing this, so we can be free to be exactly who we are in every moment. And I think that is the greatest blessing, I think, of our relationship. I am never afraid to be who I am.
Yep.
I'm never afraid to be vulnerable. I'm never afraid. I can sometimes be the first one to come up to you and say, Michelle, I am so sorry. Mm-hmm. I messed up. I made a mistake. Or one of the biggest things that I know that I've said to you over the years is I've been very disrespectful. And for me, do you remember the very first time that I felt disrespectful of you and you were so angry with me? And I think you were around, I don't know, maybe 8 or 10 or 12 or something like that. It was in that age group. We were into some kind of a disagreement and it was a pretty heated one. And
that young?
Maybe it wasn't that young, but I feel like it, maybe you were in, I don't think you were in your teens yet. I don't feel like you were in your teens yet, but maybe you were. It was going round and round and round, the argument and the just the frustration and all the things and the lack of patience. And I remember I looked at you and I said, Michelle, shut up.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. I looked at your face because I had never said that before. And that's not something that I ever say. I don't think I've ever told a human being to shut up to me. To me, that is one of the most disrespectful things that we can say to another human being.
Yeah.
We could say, please stop talking right now and take a pause. But just say, and I remember your face was.
I also feel like at that age, I was like, that was kind of not a bad word, but it, at least in my generation and at that age of life, like if you said shut up to someone, like it was really rude. Like it's probably different now, but at that time I was like, oh my God. Like,
you were really shocked.
Yeah.
And I think you were shocked and you were even angrier but you were also hurt. You were so hurt. Cause I remember what you said to me. You said, I can't believe you just said that to me. Like you were in such shock cause it wasn't something that you expected to come out of my mouth. And I obviously have never done it again. But I think in that moment, when I saw your face and I realized that I had gotten to such a place that I didn't know what to say. And I just said, shut up. In that moment, I thought, this is really disrespectful. Hmm. I'm going to, you know, so I let you know it. I said, Michelle, I'm really sorry. That was very disrespectful. Mm-hmm. I will not say that again. And it took you a little while because you were really not having it and I didn't blame you. So it's just, it can be something as little as that.
Yeah.
I think that's why I'm bringing that up. having respect for the other person, having respect for your daughter, for your son is so key. And they know it. Mm-hmm. They know when you're being respectful, or they know when you value them to the extent that they're a human being and they deserve to be, you know, not only loved and cared for, but they also deserve to be heard and seen and felt comfortable in the space when they're having a conversation or when they're talking to you.
Absolutely. Let's take a quick break.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. We've officially reached the spooky season. So what's something that scares you? If you've listened to the show, I've talked about my own fears of being left behind, not reaching my dreams and my goals, and lots of other things. With this time of year, Halloween lets us have fun with what scares us. But what about those fears that don't involve the zombies and the ghosts? Therapy is a great tool for facing your fears and finding ways to overcome them. Because sometimes the scariest thing is not facing our fears in the first place and holding ourselves back. I've talked about often on the show how much therapy has benefited me and has changed my life, honestly. I wouldn't be the person that I am today without being in therapy and seeking out help when I need it the most from a licensed professional. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's amazing. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you need to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. You can overcome your fears today with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/barbknowsbest today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/barbknowsbest.
With the changing of the seasons upon us, I know just how challenging it can feel to transition from the summer to fall fashion. But Armoire makes getting dressed easy. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, you can build the perfect wardrobe with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your dynamic, personalized closet. The styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. And then when you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out and add more new-to-you styles. I've been loving trying out Armoire lately. It's been a game changer for me to be able to mix and match, change things up, and keep in mind my sustainability efforts because I'm not constantly purchasing new clothes that just pile up in my closet, creating clutter and unnecessary expense and waste. There are so many benefits to having an Armoire membership. You can always have something new to wear without the hassle and closet clutter. You no longer have to feel bad about only wearing an outfit once. Armoire is a woman-founded and woman-led company, which is so important to us. And Armoire can help you actually define your own personal style. So what are you waiting for? Try Armoire today, because right now our listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/barbknowsbest. That's armoire.style, armoire.style/barbknowsbest to get up to 50% off your first month. And never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today.
Hi friends, if you're a makeup and skincare girly like I am, you know how important the products are, but have you ever thought about how you apply them is even more important for the results that we're all looking for? Since 2019, Anissa Beauty has been leading the way in creating vegan and cruelty-free makeup and skincare brushes that are safe for your skin and the planet, which is so important to us. Known for their viral and award-winning Pinnacle Foundation Brush, Anissa Beauty has become a fan favorite among beauty lovers. What truly sets them apart is their innovation in skincare brushes, offering tools and specifically designed to pair with moisturizers, serums, and cleansers. They're one of the few brands dedicated to elevating skincare routines with expertly designed brushes that optimize the application and absorption of skincare products. The Anissa Beauty Pinnacle Foundation Brush is an absolute game changer in our routine. My mom and I have been loving adding it into our beauty routine, and it's been so fun to see the benefits and the results. The Pinnacle Foundation Brush is more than just a brush. It's a gateway to understanding that the tool that you use can be more important than the actual product.
Anissa Beauty's brushes deliver value and quality like no other, which has completely changed how I apply skincare. I no longer use my hands and I let the brush do the work, ensuring smooth, even application every time. These brushes aren't just tools, they elevate your entire routine. And it's been amazing to try it out. Check out the Pinnacle Foundation Brush, as well as several other amazing brushes at anissabeauty.com and get 30% off site-wide with code BARBKNOWSBEST. That's A-N-I-S-A-Beauty.com.
And we're back.
I think the
she was ready to go.
I was ready because I think the thing that I also wanted to say is when we admit that we've made a mistake as a parent, I know as a mother, I feel like I've said that too often over my, you know, 38 years of parenting you. When we admit that we have made a mistake or that we messed up or that we're very, very sorry, could we start again? This is what I usually say, Michelle, I'm so sorry. Blah, 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 whatever it was, I disrespected you or I made a mistake or I really messed up. I misunderstood what you were trying to say. I took it personally and didn't give you a chance to explain it without getting my feelings hurt. Whatever it was, could we start again? Could we start this whole conversation over? And I would say probably half the time you'll say, it's not really important. And I'll say, are you sure it's important to me? And we'll say no. And we'll start talking about it a little bit. And most of the time, then we start laughing because a lot of times it's not that important. But if it is important, which the other half of the time is possible that it is, it's so healthy and so helpful and so reassuring and so fun. I know usually we end up laughing or we end up saying, wow, can you believe that we went through all of that for this or whatever it is. It seems like it's like you come to the end of a time like that and you say, this disagreement, this argument, this frustration, this anger was well spent. Like we usually come out of a situation learning something.
Yeah.
And we always come out of it saying, well, I could do this differently next time. Now I see how
you definitely do that.
The way I phrased it, because
I'll give you a lot of credit. You always take ownership of it all and say, oh, I'm going to use this for next time. Or, oh, when I say that in that way, in that tone, I realize that that doesn't go down for you. I won't do that again. Now I know. Like you're very good at that.
Because I think it's what you said earlier, Michelle. We don't want to hurt each other. We're not. And I think if you keep that in mind when you're talking to your children, that you're not really wanting to hurt them. And I don't believe that they want to hurt us. I don't ever believe that you want to hurt me. But I think sometimes we get pushed up against a wall where I'm going to say the thing just to get them off my back or to get them to stop talking to me or to get my mom to leave me alone or whatever it is. So I think if we can try to understand that it's not personal when an attack word or attack thing is happening in the conversation. It's not personal. It just means you've gotten to a place where the conversation has gone off the rails a little bit and there needs to be a pause.
Yeah. The pause is what saves so much because things escalate so much faster when you're in that knee jerk reaction, like we've talked about so many times, and you say things that escalate the situation or you do things to escalate the situation. And again, you're very good at saying, okay, let's take a pause or let's start over. I'm going to go meditate. That's often what you will say, or you can go hang out with Charlotte and, you know, we can come back. And usually after space, it's like you have time to digest it. You can feel your feelings about whatever's going on. And usually we're pretty good. And if the situation is still up, we can talk about it. But the space helps everything for sure.
I think because the space also for me helps me realize, do I need to be right? Because a lot of times we're digging our heels in situations because we want our way or we think that this is in our child's best interest. And it very may likely be. I mean, but we don't have control over, especially as our sons and daughters get older and older and older, we have zero control over how they're going to act and what they're going to say and what they're going to do. So I think the idea for me has always been, okay, I think that I'm right. Or I think that I know best,
Well, this podcast is called Bart Knows Best.
And so. You named this podcast because that's what's so, I think that's what's so beautiful about
you
this.
You were like, are you sure?
I was like, I don't think that that's what it should be called. And you said it absolutely should be called that. So I just think that we have to, and this is, none of this is easy. None of this is easy. We've been through the ringer and back. We've been through hell and back. I mean, we have been through it all. But I think there are two things that I look at myself when I'm in this reflecting. Do I need to be right here? And if I am right and I really want Michelle to see my point, can I do it in a very neutral way that is not so aggressive or that is not so impatient, that is not so I, that whole idea like I think this or I think that. Could we come together and say, you know, Michelle, what do you think if we... Or what do you think about this idea? And then the second thing is, be the first one to end the disagreement or the argument. Mm-hmm. Be the first one after you've taken the pause or whatever it is that's happening between the argument or the disagreement and the next iteration of when you're going to be together. Be the first one to say, you know, I'm really sorry. This went in a way that I didn't expect. Could we start again?
That is a big one for you because... You again are often the one to do that, to be the one to break and say that. And you often will say to me, can't you be the first one to give in? Why can't it be you? It's always me. And so I do know that you do appreciate that. And I work to be better at that, but I am stubborn. And sometimes I hold out longer than I should, but yeah.
I want to interrupt there just for a second, because just you saying that, cause I have said that.
If we've had 100 arguments in our lifetime, 90 of them have been ended with, can't you ever just be the first one to say you're sorry? I'm always the first one. Can you ever just be the first?
And I think there have been many times when I've said that when we've had to take another break.
Yeah.
When we've had to take another pause. Because it can get frustrating.
Yeah,
I didn't mean to interrupt you,
but
it can get frustrating. But it's helpful, but it can get frustrating. And I think that's the point of getting to a place where you can be so vulnerable and so open and receptive to the other person that you can say what you're feeling or say what you think. And oftentimes we laugh.
Yeah.
And I think one time you said to me, maybe several times, maybe, we'll see. And then other times we take another pause. I'll walk out of the room and say, okay, wait, I need another break.
Yep. No, I'm stubborn sometimes.
Oh, so
but however, I will say the pause helps me to get there. So the pause is powerful. But I wanted to go back to, you touched on something that is something that we were talking about before we hit the record button, which is control. Mm. And I think that that was a big piece of the dynamic of parent-child. And I was hoping you could talk more about that because I'm not a parent at the moment yet. I mean, I have a cat, but that obviously doesn't count. I cannot in any circumstance control Charlotte. But I've heard so much from you and being my mom, but then having friends with kids or... friends who have colleagues with kids, and just how much it seems like there's like a controlling energy surrounding parenting and all of that. And I know obviously you were a parent to a kid who grew up in the 90s, and times are very different now as far as just the energy of life in the world and social media and all of the things. So it's maybe a little bit different, but controlling energy seems to be like a big topic. And I would love for you to talk about it if you would.
I would love to. I mean, we talk a lot on this podcast about, we have no control over anything in the external world, but we have 100% control over how we will respond. And that external world includes our kids.
Right.
That external world includes everything, but it
yeah,
includes
we say that,
our
that,
children.
That doesn't exclude your kids.
No, it doesn't exclude your kids. And so I think as a parent, and I'm going to speak for myself, as we say often, we're talking from our own experiences and our own feelings. I'm going to speak for myself. We are terrified as a parent, I believe. I grew up in a very traumatic, dysfunctional home. So it was my, you know, being in recovery from bulimia for 40 years and being on this practice of meditation and mindfulness and a deep inner search for, you know, who I am and what it is I want to do with my life and how can I work through all of my own trauma and all of my own stuff. I had this deep desire that my daughter was Michelle, was not going to have all of the trials and all the tribulations, all the things that I went through. So I think as parents, sometimes we think that way, especially if we didn't have the greatest childhood. And then the other side of that is if we did have a good childhood, we still feel like we want to protect them. We don't want them to fail. We don't want them to get hurt. We don't want anything to happen. We don't want anything serious to happen. I just feel like as a parent, you know, you all have heard this so many times that there's no guidebook. There truly is no, there's no step-by-step, do this and this will happen, do this and this will happen. But what I do know is when we give our children, one thing I was adamant about with you was that if we give them the space to be able to know that they're loved, for one, know that they are loved and know that they can come to you with anything mm-hmm. because you will always love them unconditionally, but also giving them the space to feel what they're feeling, to let you know how they're feeling, if they get angry or if they get frustrated or if they get sad or if they get lonely, whatever it is, that they have the ability to be able to come to you and you'll just listen. Most of the time, it's just listening. How can I be the best parent that I could possibly be and just listen? I can't fix it for them. I can share some of my own experiences, which I feel like I did with you a lot, mm-hmm. but I can't fix your fear or your sadness or whatever, but I can let you feel the feelings and know that it's okay. And that you're like everyone else on the planet. We all have all of these feelings. We all have things happening inside of us and there's nothing wrong with you. And then the other thing I would share is when you went off to college. So that, you know, you're my only child, you're my only daughter, you're my only everything. Hmm. And when you went off to college, that was like, oh my gosh.
She was an empty nester.
We live in Florida and you went to Indiana. So it was a lot. And I remember being very grateful that I have a path, you know, just a path that I can rely on, my meditation, my mindfulness practice, and trusting that everything that you and I had been through all the years leading up to you going to college, you know, we're going to be exactly what you need when you got there. So I made a decision early on because I thought there were so many people around me that were saying, you know, I have my daughter call when she gets home after she's gone out after school or before they go somewhere on a trip or whatever they call. And it's not like you and I didn't talk. We talked a lot and you texted a lot and all of that. But I thought to myself, I can't tell Michelle if you're going out to the bars after school or whatever, you don't call me when you get home. I can't tell Michelle to check in with me so that I know she's safe. I think there was a part of me that thought, wow, if I tell her she has to check in with me so that I know that she's safe, I'm sending her the message that she can't take care of herself, that she has to check in, or that I'm the one. It's kind of like, it was just a weird feeling I got. It's kind of like, I can't protect her up there at Indiana at school. Right. I have to trust that all of the years, the 19 years or 18 years, whatever it was, that you got everything that you needed to, you know, just to make decisions and do things for your life that you thought were in your best interest in the moment, and that I can't control any of that.
And I think too, you had someone who kind of said this to you early on of like, if you get so used to me always saying I'm landed or I'm here or whatever, you know, and then one time it just sets up a lot of kind of unnecessary attachment.
An expectation.
And the situation that I was just talking about now is different. But I think with a parent and a child going off to college, you know, and this is not just, we talked a lot. I don't think there was ever a time, unless I'm wrong, where you might've been worried because you hadn't heard from me or that you didn't know that I mean, we probably talked every day, but it wasn't necessarily like I'm home from the bars at 4 a.m. So yeah, there wasn't that. It was like, I don't know, giving a length on the leash or something, because if, yeah, I think you just, you could have the trust and assume that everything was good and then not have to have that anxiety of like every night, okay, can I go to sleep now because I've heard from her or whatever. I mean, again, I'm not a parent, so I can't speak to that experience, but it was nice to not feel that pressure all the time, because then it became more organic. Like I would call you because I would want to check in.
Yeah.
Not because I had to.
And I think I would say to myself often, don't get me wrong, all of you listening, I was scared.
Oh yeah.
You know, I was worried.
I learned
I hope
after I graduated college, how scared she was for all 4 years for my life.
I mean, cause you don't, you're sending your child off to college and, you know, into the, it's kind
different
of
different state, far, far away,
kind of into the abyss.
No rules.
You know, they're really on their own. They truly are on their own. And so of course I was scared, but I also knew. That's why my meditation practice and all of the things, all the tools that I had been using really came in handy, because I knew, I kept telling myself, Barb, you cannot, there is nothing you can do. You can do something if she calls you and she's in trouble and needs you, but there's nothing you can do to prevent anything from happening while she's up there. You can't keep her safe.
Forever.
You have no control. And remember, you have no control over anything out there, but you have 100% control over how you're going to respond. And I used to keep reminding myself of that.
Right.
So my response was, let you be. And if you needed me, we had such a relationship that you knew you could call me for anything. Mm-hmm. You trusted yourself. You trusted me. I trusted you. And you knew no matter what, you could call me. So I think that's the whole point of this part of, you know, a lesson or a teaching that I think we've had with each other, is you have to let your child know that you trust them and know that you don't need to control them and that you're not trying to control them. You're just there to be there for them if they ever need it. And you're also there to be there for them so that they can be vulnerable, so that they can be open, so that they can really tell you everything.
Yeah.
Or at least not be afraid and not Absolutely. Be afraid. And then, because I believed if you're afraid, then you're not going to call me, or you're going to try to figure it out for yourself, and then it's going to get worse. And then you're not, then it's going to snowball into something that's really more uncontrollable or more traumatic than it needed to be.
Right.
So I guess just remember, you can't control, you can't keep them safe. You can't keep your children safe.
Yep.
But you can teach them everything that you think that they need to know and give them all of your own life experiences that will be the foundation for as they step into life on their own and making the decisions and taking the steps and the actions that they need to take. And they'll make a lot of mistakes. You have to allow them to make mistakes and allow them to fall and allow them to feel hurt and angry. I think on one of the episodes, we were talking about, I don't remember what the whole topic was, but you were in Chicago. It was when you were living in Chicago, and you reiterated a couple of stories there in Chicago.
We were just talking recently about that episode, weren't
and
we?
I think we were. And I remember
maybe a friend was like, I even learned stuff about you in that episode of your Chicago days.
Yeah. And I was sitting here, and I mean, my eyes got really big, and I'm like, oh my gosh, that really happened. You have to put it in the show notes, which episode, so people can go back
and listen.
Yeah. And I think I just remember when you were telling that story, I remember thinking to myself, I am so grateful that you kept yourself safe, because I knew, and it really affirmed for me that not only did I not know, it also affirmed for me, like I had no control anyway.
Yeah.
So you did whatever you needed to do, and it all worked out for the best.
Yeah.
Therefore, by the grace of God, go on.
Yeah. 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 Let's take a quick break.
Save big money on everything at Menards. Keep your guns, ammunition, and valuables secure with Sports Appeal Gun Safes. We have multiple sizes available to fit your needs. The spacious interiors are fully carpeted to protect against scratches and include adjustable side shelves to suit your storage needs. Save big on Sports Appeal at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals.
Save big money at Menards.
Thank you.
This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
And we're back. So two things I wanted to circle back on. First, going back to controlling, I remember vividly this exact conversation that we're having now, having it after I graduated college, and just you basically, you know, sharing with me that you were afraid, you had fear of me being safe and was I making all the right choices? But again, you knew that you couldn't control me and control the external circumstances and that you trusted me and my decision-making skills and all of that. But I think the practice that you used during that period also really, really helped you. And I don't know if you've actually talked about this practice on the show at all, but I relate so much of you, especially during that period of time, to this practice. And so maybe you could talk about that, because that was where this practice is where I think you placed your worry and your anxiety or your need to control or check in or whatever it may be. So maybe this would be helpful for anyone else who wants to try it out.
You know, Michelle, we haven't. And yeah. I think that's really,
it
is a huge part of my practice. And I think I'll touch on it here, but I think our next episode should be that.
Sure.
I think that would be wonderful because there's so much to share on that. And this will certainly go over well over an hour. So I would love to do that, but I'll touch on it here. And the first thing though, I want to say to be clear that this is for me, but I feel like the fear that I had, and maybe it's the fear that all of us have to some degree, but certainly the fear that I had was of the unknown. Mm-hmm. If we can really name that for ourselves, that what our greatest fear is, the unknown, we don't know. And so if you name that, what helped me so much with that was that I'm not afraid that Michelle's not going to know what to do. I'm not afraid she's going to make a mistake. I wasn't afraid that something bad was going to happen. I was just afraid that I didn't know any of it. You know, like I didn't know what I didn't know. And I didn't know what it was going to be like to be up there in college. I didn't know what it was going to be like to be up in another state,
yeah,
at a school. So,
and you didn't go to college. So you also just, the unknown of like what the college experience even was.
Yeah, it's exactly. So I think it's our fear of the unknown. I didn't have a specific fear. It was just the fear of the unknown. And the practice Michelle is talking about is, I have had a practice for the past 40 years of writing a mantra, an affirmation, a phrase that connects me deep within, that connects me with the reality of what I think for my own confidence and for my own connection with life and my own connection with myself from the inside out. And so what my practice has been is I will take a page in a notebook. I have hundreds of these notebooks that I've been writing over the past 40 years. I will take a page in a notebook, or I'll dedicate a whole notebook to Michelle, which is what I did when she was in college. I would put her name at the top of the page and I would put Michelle's name at the top of the page and I would say, may she be well and happy. Mm-hmm. And then I would write my affirmation, or I would write my mantra. And a lot of times it was, all is well in this moment, all is well in this moment. Be still and know, because those are the things that were appealing to me at the time. And I was really leaning on those affirmations and those phrases and those mantras to be still and know, Barb, it's okay. Mm-hmm. Be still and know, it's okay. All is well in this moment. So it's constantly bringing me back to the present moment. It was always bringing me back to the present moment, always bringing me back to the present moment where everything was well. And I would write that, trying to be as mindful and as present moment aware as I could as I was writing it, with that intention of sending all the good vibes, all the good energy, all the positive affirmations, the positive energy toward Michelle's way. But it was also, that's what's so beautiful about this practice, because it's also coming my way as well.
Right. You get the benefits.
I get the benefits of it as well. So I did that for, I mean, I've been doing it for all these years, but
And you gave me some of them when I graduated.
I would say I filled up a whole notebook. Well, I think when you started driving up there, when you got your car up there in school.
Yeah.
I think you were a sophomore maybe.
Yep.
I think when I flew up there, I think I gave you one of my books that I had done.
Yeah.
And you put it in your glove compartment.
Actually, as you were talking, I'm like, where is that one? I had it in my, I'll have to figure it out because I know I still have it.
Yeah.
But yes, you would give them to me.
I was doing that.
And you gave them some to me when I graduated as
well. Yes. And I gave some to your friends.
Well,
I gave some to your roommates.
You would also, and you would write in books, but you also were very artistic. You would create art with it and use different colored pens and fill in pretty art with your mantra. And you would gift those. You gifted them to all my friends who were really helpful when my dad died, and everyone always loved them.
Yeah.
They were always very special.
Yeah. And I loved it. I loved, it kept me present.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what really everything this podcast and everything life is about, is how can we stay present? How can we stay in the present moment? Because the present moment is where we have all of our choices to choose and to take actions and to decide and all of the things. And so I knew that as long as I was in the present moment, my mind was not going to get carried away with, oh my gosh, I hope she's all right. The stories. Yeah. The stories. So that's just a little glimpse.
Yeah,
as what I did. We can talk about it more.
But I think that was a huge help for you.
Oh my gosh. Monumental. Monumental.
And then secondly, touching back on the being open enough for your kids to make mistakes and not being perfect. That's also was a huge piece for me as a kid, but even now as an adult. I think knowing that you have a parent that will be supportive of you even when you make mistakes is huge. And of course, that's not in the sense of like having a parent that will help you get out of your mistakes. Like, I think sometimes I was recently talking to someone who knows someone whose parents, like, you know, don't really discipline their kids and just kind of let things roll off. And, you know, that was not your parenting nature. I mean, I was disciplined. So it's not like bypassing bad behavior or making mistakes or doing things wrong. But I think knowing that you'll have a parent that won't like abandon you in your mistakes maybe is huge, because I've made like a ton of mistakes. And I know as a kid and even as an adult, like sometimes in some of my really big mistakes, I'm like, oh, this is the one where she's not going to be able to not stick around, but this is too big even for her or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that wasn't the case. And I think that that's huge. You can be disappointed or have whatever feelings that you have about it, but you've always been there to say, okay, this is the situation. Like, what are we going to do about it? Or what are you going to, you know, in a way of that's very solutions oriented rather than shaming.
I love that, Michelle, because you're right. And I think, gosh, there's so many things I want to say to that, because it was so beautifully said. So beautifully said. If you all just get that just kind of what we started this episode with, just be open and allow your child to just speak and allow them to be vulnerable. Allow them to have the freedom and the security and the safety of, as you said, not being abandoned, not being judged, not being shamed, not being told, how could they possibly do that? What is wrong with you? So they think that there's something wrong with them. If you can create an environment where they actually, where your child actually feels like they can tell you anything and feel safe and feel that no matter what I say, it's going to be okay. Right. And it doesn't mean that the parent isn't going to have some thoughts about it. And it doesn't mean that there's not going to be a long discussion about it. And that it just means that I'm comfortable in being able to speak and being able to be honest. And allow
I think
my feelings.
Of that it's going to be okay.
It's going to be okay.
It's a huge comfort, especially when you make mistakes. I think no matter what, and I mean, mistakes are inevitable. There's no way to prohibit your kid from making a mistake, or there's no way to even keep yourself from making mistakes in life. And I think mistakes are hugely important and strengthening and teaching and building and learning for our lives. But I think the piece for me is having people that can comfort you and let you know that it's going to be okay in any situation, and that you're not alone, and that whatever is going on, you'll be there for them and you can help them in ways that are, you know, healthy ways to help them. And that it's this, like we say, this too shall pass. Even really big, bad mistakes pass.
Yeah. And I think that's what you just said. It's just perfect, Michelle. It's so brilliant. It's everything. And I think what happens sometimes as a parent and as an adult, we want so badly for our children not to have to suffer or not to feel the pain or not to make mistakes or to do it all right or to have a better childhood, as I said before, than we did. We want so badly for them that we forget that we made so many mistakes ourselves, that we screwed up so many times ourselves. So we don't offer our kids the grace that we wanted as children, maybe, or that we want as adults, or that we want as coworkers, whatever it is. We would love for people around us, especially people that love us and care for us deeply. When we screw up, when we make a mistake, when we've done something that's pretty not okay, we want a little bit of grace. We know that we need to discuss it. We know that we need to come to some kind of a solution for it. As you were saying, we're going to have a discussion and come to some ending solution, but we want to be offered some grace that it's okay. It's maybe what happened isn't okay, but it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
It's okay that you don't feel okay because what happened isn't okay, but it's going to be okay because you're not alone. As you were saying, Michelle, I'm not abandoning you. You're not in this by yourself. And I think the greatest thing is that idea of grace, but also the idea of forgiving. You know, I think we get stuck as parents and we get stuck as adults, you know, with kids or with other people even, but as parents in particular, we get stuck because we haven't forgiven ourselves enough to be able to then forgive our children. So we're still hanging on to this guilt or this horrible feeling that we might have about ourselves because we did X, Y, or Z when we were younger. And somehow that energy, I believe, transfers into how we're treating our children, how we're treating our kids. Oh my gosh, you can't do it's like it's almost like you can't. There's a fierce anger about that or a fierce reaction to that. And I think if we can actually look at, okay, wait, I made a lot of mistakes. So I want my daughter, I want Michelle to be able to feel like she can come to me with anything.
Right.
Especially if it's the hardest thing.
Yeah.
Especially if it's a little thing, you know, okay, they're not going to tell you everything. But if it's the hardest thing, you want them to be able to say, wow, this is the worst thing I could have ever done.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go tell my mom anyway.
Yeah.
Because I know that she's not going to leave me. I know that she's not going to berate me. I know that she's not going to say something's wrong with me. She's actually going to let me listen. She's actually going to let me talk so that she will listen. And the only other thing I want to add to that is, and it could take days and weeks. I think we make the mistake, especially if it's something major, that, oh my gosh, we have to come to some solution right now. What are you going to do about this? And I don't think that that's necessarily true in most situations, especially if they're drastic ones or really difficult ones.
I will say, on top of all of that, I'm hesitant to say never because never say never, but I can't remember any time where when I made a mistake and came to you, you doubled down on like the hurt of the mistake. Like you never made it worse. And I was always appreciative of that. Even the really big ones, you never like, what were you, how could you be so stupid? You know, you never, if I was feeling regretful or remorseful or sad or any or of those scared, you never like doubled down on the pain. And that is something that I always appreciated, because even when I would double down on it for myself, you rarely, if ever, did. And so I think that was also a huge piece. You could have been feeling those things or having disappointment or whatever, but you never said it to me and made me feel like extra bad about the situation.
You know, I don't think I ever felt that way either. I never felt like I really want to let you have it, or I want to double down, to use your words. What I felt was compassion. And what I felt was, wow, I may have been in similar situations, maybe not the same, but similar feelings when I was your age. And all I wanted was someone to be there for me.
Yeah.
And so I always just felt, I want to be here for you, because I think I trust you completely. And that doesn't mean that I don't think that you're ever going to make a mistake or that you're not going to do something wrong. I think we misunderstand words so much, I think, in our vocabulary and in our language. Trust doesn't mean, okay, you're never making a mistake. It means I trust that you are going to work you're going to be able to feel your feelings and work through whatever it is and ultimately come out the end having learned something in a way that's going to make your life happier or more successful or a little bit more with ease. That's, for me, is trust. So, and I love you. I love you deeply. So I think that if we can just know that we love our kids a lot, I mean, really deeply, and we want the best for them, but sometimes the best for them is taking a detour that we can't even imagine sometimes.
Right.
And we have to be okay with that. We have to be okay because we have no other choice. It's what is. And I think if I could just say anything, if I only said one thing today, it would be, you have to be okay with what is. And the best thing that you can do for your children is to be there for them and let them feel their feelings and talk. Let them tell you that they're scared without you saying there's nothing to be scared about. Mm-hmm. Let them tell you that they're really sad and they're worried without you saying, I don't know what you're sad about. You have such a nice house. You have a lot of good friends. Everything seems fine. What could you possibly be sad about? Like any of those things.
Yeah.
Just really letting them be exactly who they are in the moment. And then trusting that they're going to use whatever experience that they're talking to you about to become the better version of who they already are from the inside out. Because they're going to learn a whole heck of a lot about themselves.
Yeah.
And what they want and what they don't want. And they also learn what works and what doesn't work. Hey, I'm not going to do that again.
Exactly. I love it.
Me
it's
too.
So funny. We were sitting down to record this and we're like, this will be a short one.
I knew it.
And this is a full episode.
This is a full episode as well.
But it was so good. Thank you. I'm so happy we could have this conversation, and I'm so happy we could have it on Mother's Day. And thank you, Mom. Thank you for everything.
And use this quote by Maya Angelou that we talk about a lot. I use it. It's on my bathroom mirror right now. Mm-hmm. Forgive yourself for not knowing what you didn't know before you learned it.
Right.
Have that grace for yourself and have the same grace for your children. Forgive them for not knowing what they didn't know before they learned it.
Yeah. That's a powerful one.
I love
you. Thank you, Mom. Love you. Happy Mother's Day, and happy Mother's Day. Well, belated when everyone's hearing this, to all of the mothers celebrating.
Yes.
And sending love to those who Mother's Day might be a painful time as well. So thank you.
We love you.
Yes, we love you all. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you, Mom, also again for such a nice episode. If you haven't yet, make sure you liked and subscribed to the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, Apple, Google, Spotify, so you're always up to date on each new episode and every new update on all things Barb Knows Best. If you want to send us podcast topic requests, have questions, comments, concerns, make sure you're following us on social media at Peaceful Barb, at Michelle Maros, at Barb Knows Best Pod. That's always the best way to do so. Lastly, if you haven't already, make sure to give us a 5-star rating on iTunes and Spotify and leave a review. As you know, this is so helpful to us and we greatly appreciate it. Lastly, I know I said lastly before, but lastly now, there is a link in the show notes to subscribe to our newsletter so that you're up to date on everything in our universe and beyond. So click the link in our show notes to sign up. Thank you so much again for listening. Thank you, Mom, for everything. Happy Mother's Day. And we'll chat with you next week because, as we know, Barb knows best. Bye.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.